Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Just a brief update on what is going on over in Kenya. We have 34 children in the children's home now, and we are honoring their lives by teaching them about Jesus. We're teaching them good habits in their life, and we're giving them instruction in schools. And so they're going to be in school till about the 20th of December. Then they'll be home for a couple of weeks, then back for the spring term in mid-January. So we are also organizing crusades, one in Arusha over in Tanzania, and another one in Butere in West Kenya over near the Uganda border. So pray for those crusades. Pray for provision. There's a lot of expenses involved regarding COVID for people involved. We have to, anytime we cross the border, we have to take tests and additional expenses regarding that. And so Kenya, in addition, just dropped the bomb on the vaccine mandate, and so we may have to deal with getting vaccinated. We'll pray about that, pray for the Lord to protect us, the blood of Jesus to be over us, and so we'll deal with that as we go forth this spring. And also, we have a need for a school to be built there. That's a long-term vision, and so if you would like to be a part of that, we need about $100,000 to build this school. We want a good Christian school in the Makunda area so we can send our kids to this school and not have to send them to public school. And so if you think you'd be interested in being a part of that, email me and we can talk about that in the days ahead. Well, today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And again, as I spoke last week, if you don't understand the battle that you're in, maybe you don't understand that you are in a warfare battle if you're a baby believer or you are not walking with the Lord, you may not understand the devil's plan for your life. And we're going to be talking about that here in a minute, how the devil is organized to destroy you. And the devil is organized to take you away from your kingdom call, from your destiny. And God has a plan for your life. He spoke that plan over you even before you were born. And so it doesn't matter what has happened in your life. Maybe you've been running with the devil. Maybe you've been in rebellion and been a rebellious person. But I tell you today, God has a plan for your life, and he can take you where you are. You come as you are, and you pick up where you left off, or maybe you never got started, but you start today, and you can fulfill the plan of God in your life. You can come to know the Lord. You can be saved. You can come to know the Lord and fulfill the plan and the calling, the kingdom calling that God has over your life. Well, the Apostle Paul speaks here in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And again, this is the most famous and probably concise picture of spiritual warfare in the Bible, although the Bible is full of battle stories and stories about warfare. This is the concise one for the new believers in Ephesus. And Paul says here in verse 12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And so there's a hierarchy of the devil's kingdom. And so Paul lists four different entities, four different levels of demonic activity. And these are demonic entities. And each one is assigned a territory. Each one is assigned a city, a state, a nation, a territory. Each is assigned a family, and each is then also assigned individuals. And so that is the hierarchy. Some deal with individuals, some deal with families, some deal with clans, with tribes, with territories, with nations. And so the devil is very efficient. He's very cunning. The devil roars like a roaring lion. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And some of us, you know, have been devoured. Some have been devoured and spit out, chewed up, spit out, and even destroyed and killed way before their time. They were taken out before their time, before their destiny was fulfilled. And so that's the devil's plan. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And so there's only two places, the kingdom of the devil, there's the kingdom of God. There's no gray area in between. You can't sit on the fence. If you're saved, if you have confessed Jesus, if you believed that he was raised from the dead, and you believe in your heart according to righteousness, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead, then you will be saved. And if you have not done that, beloved, you may be a good person, you may be an honest person, you may be striving to do good things, but if you never confess Jesus and come to him, you're not in the kingdom of God. You need to do that today and get right with God. Then your kingdom walk is defined, your kingdom walk is specified, and it is in agreement with what the Lord spoke over you even before you were born. And then your kingdom walk will invite in the plan of the devil or the warfare of the devil to take you away and distract you and take you away from that kingdom walk. Well, so the pieces of the gospel armor Paul talks about here, starting in verse 13, and these pieces, you can go through the motions each day of putting these pieces on. You can pray these pieces over you. They're not specifically physical pieces. They're pieces of the scripture. They're actually, each one is a manifestation of Jesus Christ over your life. Each one is a manifestation of the Word of God over your life and the kingdom plan over your life. And so if you put these pieces on each day, you will be protected from the darts, the fiery darts, and the wiles or the schemes of the evil one. So Paul takes this up in verse 13. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Well, let me just focus on one phrase there, in the evil day. Well, beloved, you know we are in the evil day. When I think about the days gone by, the days of a generation ago, how peaceful America was, and how friendly people were, and there was safety all over the country. There weren't gangs roaming around in the cities destroying things. There weren't people destroying stores and looting stores and burning down people's businesses and all of this stuff. We lived in a time growing up when things were pretty placid, things were pretty peaceful, things were pretty calm, but we are in the evil day. There's no question about that. But the scary part, I guess, or you could say the part that we can look forward to some degree, is that the evil day in the days ahead will be even more evil and more dark than it is now. And so the darkness keeps getting darker. The light keeps getting brighter. The brightness of the kingdom will draw people from the darkness, but also the darkness will be so evil that people will be randomly killed, people will be randomly destroyed. Just this week, you saw in Wisconsin this evil man evil possessed man drove his car down through a very peaceful, placid Christmas or holiday parade, killed several people, injured very, very many. And when you see the kind of thinking that goes on behind somebody like this, you know that we're in the evil day, but it's going to get even darker in the days ahead. So Paul says, even in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And then he starts in verse 14 with the pieces, the individual pieces of the gospel armor. In the first one, he says, having girded your waist with truth. Well, Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So get to know Jesus Christ. If you want to know truth, if you want to know what the truth is, get to know Jesus Christ. Get to know his word. Jesus is the word, and the word dwelt among us. And so Jesus Christ is the truth, and if you want to know the truth, you have to get to know Jesus' word. You have to know the word of God. You can hide it in your heart. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he said to the disciples, "If you abide in my word, you will come to know me, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so you can get some information at the coffee shop. You can get some information on TV. You can get some information on the nightly news. You can get some information from your friends. But if you want to know the truth, you need to study God's word, and you need to find out what God says about something, what God says about marriage, what God says about finances, what God says about faith. When you come to know what God says about it, you're going to know the truth. And so you gird your waist with truth. You pull up that belt of truth. You pull your pants up. This is no place for saggy pants because you're in a battle. You pull your pants up. You gird your waist with that truth, and it covers your sexual organs, a place of great temptation for us, a place of great disobedience for us. And so the devil will use sexual immorality and your sexual organs to try to tear you away from the kingdom. And so you cover your waist with that belt of truth, you pull up your pants, and you get ready to go to battle. And then Paul also says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, that breastplate in that day was a big plate that covered the main organs of the body, the heart, the liver, and the lungs. And so it protected from arrows and spears that would come against them. And so this breastplate of righteousness covers your heart, because out of the heart comes the issues of life. And your heart is the seat of passion. It is the heart that is the seat of emotion and your will, and you have a heart to do something, you have a zeal to do something that comes from the heart. And so in Isaiah 59, the prophetic passage about Jesus Christ that Isaiah spoke, it says, "For he, Jesus, put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head." And so he put on righteousness as a breastplate. You know, Jesus never sinned. He was the righteous man of God. He was the righteous Son of God. He was called the Son of Man, and he was also called the Son of God. And he was righteous. He never sinned. He was tempted, but he never sinned. And so we can also keep that breastplate of righteousness on us so that we know to do the right thing. Well, in verse 15, Paul goes on then to say, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Well, when you put the shoes of peace on your feet and you walk into a situation, if you are a believer, if you are a child of God, the anointing on you and the wisdom that you have and the counsel that you have from the Holy Spirit, when you walk into a situation of chaos, it may be in your family, may be in your business, may be in your community. There's a lot of places in America today where people are trying to bring wisdom into school board meetings. They're trying to bring wisdom into government meetings. They're trying to bring wisdom into all kinds of social media conversations. When you have the shoes of peace on you, then you bring a different perspective. You bring kingdom perspective. And that perspective then is a perspective where you love, you show the love of God, you show the love of the kingdom for other people, and you bring peace into that situation. Jesus said in John 14:27, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you." Therefore, he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Beloved, if you want peace, you have to get to know Jesus Christ. If you want peace, you're going to have to study his word. This world cannot give you peace. This world is full of chaos and trouble and angst and anxiety. And so you will not have peace unless you come to know Jesus and unless you come to read his word and get that word hidden in your heart. So you put the shoes of the gospel of peace on you. And then in verse 16, Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, beloved, that shield of faith goes out in front of you. It goes before you. It protects your body and it protects the darts and the arrows and the spears of the evil one from approaching you. But that faith has to go ahead. You know, we don't go by sight. We go by faith, and faith is a substance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. And so you believe even though you don't see it. That is faith. And then when you believe even though you don't see it and you act upon that belief, that is putting your faith into action. Faith without works is dead. And when you believe for something and you follow it up with works, you follow it up with activity. I believed for a children's home in Kenya. I believed for a church in Kenya. I believed for people to come to know the Lord through the Crusades. And when you put that into action, it's not enough just to say, I believe. When you put it into action, then that faith becomes a reality. Hebrews 14:6 says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God, and those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so as we come to God, we please him. When we show our faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we must say, God, we know you are. We believe you answer prayer. We believe you can do miracles. We believe you can heal people. And when you put your faith into activity and you put it into works, then that faith manifests on this earth. And that really pleases God. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And so that faith goes on ahead. Many times Jesus rewarded or commended people for their faith as he healed them. He said their faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And he would speak that over people. But also at times when people didn't exhibit faith, he said, oh, you faithless generation, or oh, you of little faith. Well, I ask you today, are you one of great faith? Do you believe for great things in your life? Do you believe God can do great things, great healings, great miracles? Do you believe God can turn your finances around? Do you believe God can break the chains of addiction and bondage off of you? If you step out in faith and even one small tiny step, even one small step in the direction of the kingdom of God, you are exhibiting your faith and God will give you more faith. You don't have to go back then and cross that bridge again, that little bridge that you crossed when you exhibited your faith. You go ahead and you go into a place where it's going to take more faith to do what God has called you to do. And that's the way that faith progresses. And you can start to believe for big things. Noah believed for a big ark and he took 100 years or so to build it, and so God rewarded him. Noah and his family were saved when the flood came across the earth. Well, so you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The devil is always shooting his darts at you. He's always trying to destroy you, take you down, take you out before your time. And the fiery darts of the wicked one then can be quenched by the shield of faith. Well, in 17, verse 17, take up the helmet of salvation. We again refer to this in Isaiah 59, verse 17. And a helmet of salvation on his head, speaking of Jesus. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. That's all descriptions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that Isaiah spoke 700 and some years before Jesus walked this earth. And so the helmet of salvation protects your mind and it gives you the thoughts of God. You begin to think like God thinks. You begin to think like Jesus Christ. You begin to think of things that are heavenly pursuits, of godly pursuits. You start to think of things that God wants to have done through your life here on this earth, and maybe through your church, maybe through your mission organization. And so that helmet of salvation then protects your thoughts and protects your mind. Well, then he goes on to say, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, that's your offensive weapon. We have in Kenya, we have the Maasai warriors, and they go and stick a lion when they're 14 years old or so. They have that offensive weapon, that sword of the Spirit. But we have a sword also, and that is the Word of God. And we can carry that with us wherever we go. You don't have to carry your Bible per se. Wherever you go, you carry it in your heart. That's the importance of memorizing Scripture. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder or to divide apart the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the Word of God is even actually sharper than a human sword, surgical steel. The human sword can be sharp, but the Word of God is even sharper, and it can divide asunder the soul and the spirit. The spirit is the part of you that God wants to communicate with. That spirit is the part of you that seeks the Lord, but the soul gets attached to things of the world, and that soul then can drag people away. Those soulish pursuits, those soulish attachments can drag people away and actually take over the spirit, to where the spirit does not hear from God, the spirit does not desire God, the spirit does not desire to communicate with God. And so the sword of the Spirit separates between the soul and the spirit and divides them, and even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you want to hold a mirror up to your life every day, just read God's Word, and it will reflect back to you what your life is all about. It will reflect back to you what you're doing with your life and what's God's desire for you to be doing with your life. And so that is the sword of the Spirit. That is our offensive weapon. That is the weapon that we can go after the enemy. In Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was up in the wilderness, the enemy, the devil, came to him three times and tempted him, just as we're tempted. And every single time, Jesus spoke the Word of God to the devil. He used the word from the Old Testament. He used that word, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When the devil came to him and said, Jesus, turn these stones into bread. I know you're hungry. I know that you, after fasting, you have a desire to eat. And Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And two more times, the devil came to him, tempted him, and the devil was defeated because Jesus said, it is written, it is written. Beloved, if you're out there today and the devil is beating you up and dragging you through the mud and dragging you down, you need to speak to the devil. It is written, and get the Word of God on your side. Get that Word of God, that sword of the Spirit, working for you. Well, Paul wraps up this passage of Scripture in verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, that is a plea for mercy, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, Paul says, soak it all in prayer. Spend time in prayer. If you don't have a prayer life, you need to get off by yourself every day and pray. You need to get down on your knees, cry out to the Lord. He will hear you. Pray without ceasing, and soak everything that you do, every decision, every activity, soak it with prayer, and you will not go astray. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this discussion of spiritual warfare and the gospel armor. Next week, we're going to take a look at individual bondage, taking it down to how the demons attack us individually and how you can break those chains of bondage off of yourself and get moving forward in the kingdom of God. So tune in with us next week for that great message. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We invite you to partner with us. We have many projects going in Africa that you can get a part of, and not just for this radio broadcast, but you can also help us with the projects that we have going here in Kenya. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.